hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Our starting line on the sunny side of sports is African athletics. About 600 athletes from 10 countries tested their speed, endurance, and climbing ability in the annual Mount Cameroon Race of Hope. Cameroonian athletes once again captured first place in the men's and women's divisions as they churned up one of Africa's largest volcanoes and then ran down the mountain. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Boya. There was also one noted runner who came out of retirement to participate.
Hundreds of supporters applauded as Sarah Lengu Etonge, a 50-year-old mother of seven, crosses the finish line of the 2017 Mount Cameroon Race of Hope. This year, she finished 90th, covering the 40-kilometer distance in about 6 hours 30 minutes. Etonge, a seven-time winner who was crowned Queen of the Mountain before her retirement from the competition, announced she was coming back this year to run for peace in Cameroon. Among her supporters is 37-year-old Martin Bafo, who traveled nearly 300 kilometers from the Cameroon capital Yaoundé to watch her perform. He says when Sarah Lengu Etonge declared that she was running this year for Cameroon's peace and unity, no one could be indifferent because she is a historic figure who has kept her mark in the Mount Cameroon race. The English-speaking northwest and southwest regions of Cameroon have been hit by violence that escalated from the strike action called by teachers and lawyers to protest what they called the overbearing influence of the French-speaking majority. Some political and special interest groups are asking for the creation of a federal state divided into French and English-speaking regions. Others have asked for the total independence of English-speaking Cameroon. Spectator turnout for this year's race was smaller than usual because some pressure groups called for a boycott. Cameroon Athletic Federation President Emmanuel Motombi says the military was deployed to assure the safety of runners.
Le gouverneur de la région du Sud-Ouest a fait son travail. La piste qui prend du Haut-Parfum jusqu'au sommet a été.
He says the governor of Southwest Cameroon and the military did their job by protecting the race course. Cameroon runners have won the race on the 4,000-meter-high active volcano since 1973. This year's event was won by 32-year-old Fire Elvis Nzedzani from the northwest region of Cameroon in 4 hours, 25 minutes. He says he overtook last year's winner, Gapsibuim Godlove, less than 500 meters from the finish line.
The person who took me right to the summit, before I come and take him at the route, is Gapsibuim Godlove. It's not a challenge.
Godlove Gapsibuim came second and Leonga Esome was third in the men's division. Lizette Ngalim was the winner of the women's race. The first place finishers went home with about $18,000. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News. Boya, Southwest Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. From Cameroon, let's go to neighboring Nigeria, where reporter Chika Adua profiles a girls' team that competed earlier this month in the country's largest rugby tournament.
Let's go. Pass. Pass.
It's a rare sight. Girls in Nigeria playing rugby. And in northern Nigeria's Kano State, the girls in the basic college secondary school are defying cultural norms.
The girls expected not to be involved in all those masculine games because they believe rugby needs strength. So they believe as a girl, I'm just supposed to be facing my studies, leave all those games. I believe that what a man can do, a woman can do it better.
That's Rahilat Umar. At 13 years of age, she is one of the youngest players on this all-girls high school rugby team. The team captain, Janet Emmanuel, is a star player. Janet says she has learned to ignore what people say about girls playing rugby.
We aren't weaklings at all, and we're doing good in rugby.
The team has been getting ready for a tournament, and coach Stanley Uka is working hard to prepare them as much as he can on the field.
To let them know that they are coming here to crack rocks and not just coming here for child's play.
Off the field, coach Stanley knows that some of his players are facing challenges. Rahilat comes from a conservative Muslim family. Her father is strongly against her playing rugby.
I sent her to school to learn, not to be playing rugby. And as a Muslim and a girl, I don't think it would be very wise I will allow her to play rugby. If I decide to stop her, I will do that.
But Rahilat says she hopes her parents will eventually come around. The next day is game day and the team is ready. At the Kano State Youth Rugby Championships, only two of the 13 competing teams are made up of female players. Rahilat's parents are not coming, but she doesn't dwell on that for long. Coach Stanley is counting on her.
Rahilat as a player is one of the fantastic players I have. When it comes to game, Nigeria, before we are nowhere to be found when it comes to the female. But presently now, the females are coming up. They are beating the imagination of so many people.
This is the second time the tournament is taking place. It was put together by the Kano State Rugby Association and the Barewa Rugby Club. UK national Martin Crawford moved to Kano 13 years ago. He grew up playing the sport, and these days he's passing it on to the Nigerian youngsters.
When we started, we kind of focused on the senior secondary. We realized that was a mistake, because if you catch the kids when they're 12, 13, they're with you till 13, 14, 15, 16, they leave secondary school. By that time, they're die-hard rugby players. They play rugby for the pure pleasure of it. In fact, they'll walk over hot coals.
They try their best, but by halftime, no one scores, and Coach Stanley is not happy. They try again, but it's a scoreless draw. In the end, both female teams win a trophy. Coach Stanley said he is proud of his players.
The Nigerian females are coming up and not just crawling. They are really coming up, and I believe they are going to make the world proud someday. With the cooperation and the understanding of the parents, Rahilat is moving somewhere, and I know for sure one day she will get to somewhere. Sky will not just be her limit, but her starting point.
Rahilat is disappointed that they didn't score, but that doesn't dampen her spirits.
I tried my best. I put all my effort on it.
These female players from basic college secondary school represent change and gender equality. They know they have a long way to go. Chika Odua for VOA News, Kano, Nigeria.
Voice of America!
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Washington!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a big package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening, Sonny, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We begin with the 2017 CAF Under-20 African Cup of Nations, which got underway in Zambia on Sunday. It was the host, the Young Chipolopolo, who got their campaign off on a winning note after beating the Junior Sele National of Guinea by 1-0. Patson Daka scored the only goal of the game to earn Zambia the win. Coach of the Young Chipolopolo, besting Quicksilver Chimbeshi, says they will do their best to go far in the tournament.
It's nice to host this tournament, and for sure, yes, it will be our first big tournament to be played in this country. I can assure the nation we have prepared very well for this tournament. We work hard so that at least we go far in this tournament.
Egypt and Mali played to a goalless draw in the other opening Group A match at the Heroes National Stadium in Lusaka on Sunday afternoon. The result leaves Egypt and Mali tied in second place in Group A behind Zambia on 3 points, while Guinea prop up the standings with 0 points. The next set of under-20 AFCON fixtures take place on Monday as Group B gets underway, with Senegal taking on Sudan, while Cameroon will go up against South Africa. The South Africa under-20 national football team coach Thabo Senong is confident there's enough quality players in his squad to excel at the CAF Under-20 African Cup of Nations tournament in Zambia.
You're talking about young players, and it will be very hard for them if they have to lose the first game. Hence, it's important that we make sure that we get a very good result. A bad result will be a draw, but we are looking forward to win the first game.
Away from the Under-20 AFCON tournament, FIFA President Gianni Infantino wound up his visit to Uganda by promising that the World Soccer Governing Body is keen to lend more support to the development of local football on the continent.
We've increased the investments we are making in African football by 3.5, so from 27 million a year that FIFA was investing in Africa, we are moving now to 94 million a year, almost 100 million a year, every year that we invest in football projects in African football associations, and we start already to see the results.
However, the FIFA president, who spent the last week in Africa meeting with the 54 Football Federation president, was careful not to be drawn to the politics of football on the continent at the time his visit comes just weeks before the Confederation of African Football elections.
When it comes to the elections at CAF, it's not up to the FIFA president to take any position or make any recommendation of any sort. The African Football Association member associations, they are all big enough guys to make up their own mind and to take their own decision based on objective criteria than having to listen to anyone else telling them what they have to do.
And now to news surrounding some African players plying their trade outside the continent. French-born Gazalec Ajaccio defender Cedric Houdoundji has confirmed his decision to commit his international future to Benin. Writing on his Facebook page, the France under-21 centre-back said he decided to play for Benin, his father's country of origin, because it will be of great pride to wear the national team colours of Benin Republic. Once tipped to be among the brightest young defenders of his age, emerging in one of Europe's major leagues when he started off with Stade Rennais first team after graduating from the club's academy. And pre-Emerick Aubameyang ended his goal drought after 471 minutes of action to score twice on Saturday as Borussia Dortmund tightened their hold on third place with a 3-0 victory at Freiburg. Andrea Yu, on the other hand, came in as substitute to score a goal away to Watford in a hard-fought 1-1 draw on Saturday in one of the English Premier League games. And to some not-too-good news, DR Congo's Yannick Bolasie may not play for Everton again until the end of the 2017 season, with manager Ronald Koeman confirming that the winger will undergo a second operation on his knee. The 27-year-old, who joined from Crystal Palace in August for an initial fee of £25 million, played every game for Everton until injuring his anterior cruciate ligament against Manchester United on December 4, 2016. Ahead of the CAF 2018 Championship of African Nations competition meant for players playing football on the continent, a delegation of CAF led by the ruling body's first vice president, Sukete Patel, has concluded their inspection visit to Kenya with positive assessment of what they have seen so far on ground.
The only country that is in CAF's mind as to who will host CHAN next year is Kenya. And it's really up to Kenya to deliver what we expect from a tournament of this nature. And I would like to end that speculation at all costs, so that it allows Kenya itself to concentrate on the job at hand.
Sports and Culture Cabinet Secretary Dr. Hassan Wariro has promised that he has set aside the required 2.7 billion Kenyan shillings that will be used to upgrade infrastructure as Kenya prepares to host the CHAN Championship in 2018.
Let me assure you that the Kenyan government has committed 2.7 billion shillings to CHAN. Out of that, 200 million has been earmarked for the LOC, which is the local organizing committee, whose first meeting will be next week.
In cricket news, the Proteas of South Africa, in their most dominant performance on the tour of New Zealand so far, the South African regained the one-day series lead with the kind of showing that coach Russell Domingo believes typifies their new style of play.
Yeah, very good performance. Look, still not the perfect game by a long way. Still always room for improvement and but really satisfied with the way the bowlers went about the business this evening on a good wicket to bowl on, but I thought the disciplines were really good. Look, at the start of the game, I suppose we said 270, you'd probably wanted a few more, particularly in the position we were in. I think we thought we were about 120 for one at one stage, and then a couple of softish dismissals in the middle set us back a bit. So I suppose at that stage, you're probably looking closer to the 300 mark. But then at 170 for six, you'd have taken 270. So look, by no means the perfect performance, but going in the right direction, that's important for us.
In athletics news, Egyptian shot putter Mustafa Amir, who's part of the Egyptian national athletics team, won the third place at the 2017 IWAF World Indoor Championship, which took place in the United States. The 21-year-old champion achieved a new Egyptian national record with 21.30 meters, breaking the last Egyptian record of 20.76 meters held by Ahmed Shatta since 1988. And that's it for the Sunny Side of Sport with a wrap from the African continent. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Sonny, in Washington.
Thanks, Samson. I really enjoyed that spicy package of sports news. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Monday greetings. Good to be here with you, Sonny.
Only a couple days left in February. What's trending in the sports world?
Well, it is Monday here, but it is also the day after the Academy Awards. Of course, the biggest night in film here in the United States, in Hollywood, and really around the world. And the big story everybody's talking about is the mix-up for Best Picture. La La Land was originally announced. There was the mix-up with the envelopes. It was actually the film Moonlight that won. They had to go back and say they made a mistake. So why am I talking about all of this in the context of a sports show? Well, that envelope and that card that said Moonlight, when the producer from La La Land held it up, that suddenly became a meme on social media, and people were putting in all different kinds of funny things, including several sports references
okay.
to some sports upsets. And so two of the ones that I saw that I thought were kind of funny, they photoshopped that card so it read Golden State wins. Of course, the Golden State Warriors blew their 3-1 series lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers last year in the NBA final. Out of nowhere, everybody thought they were going to win it, and they didn't. So that was kind of the one funny meme, putting Golden State wins okay. in there. And then the other one, a little more recent, putting in Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl 51 champions. Of course, another instance, Atlanta was up, I don't know, 24 points against the New England Patriots.
Big lead.
They were cruising. They were going to win, no question. Well, New England came roaring back, and in overtime, they won it. So two of the examples of instances where sports teams thought they had it won, and they didn't. Well, that's playing out now again, rehashing it for those two teams, the Atlanta Falcons and the Golden State Warriors.
And I understand, Andrew, a Filipino boxing star is lined up a big match.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is, we're talking about the Academy Awards and kind of winners and losers. Well, this is a big win for the fans. Manny Pacquiao and Amir Khan have announced that they have settled on a date for their big bout, April 23rd. In the United Arab Emirates. So mark that down on your calendars. Both Pacquiao and Khan were tweeting out. Pacquiao tweeted and said, "Negotiations between Team Pacquiao and Team Khan have come to terms for the April 23rd bout, as this is what the fans wanted." And he used that hashtag Pacquiao Khan. Khan tweeting out, "My team and I have agreed terms with Manny Pacquiao for his team for a super fight." And then he puts hashtag Pacquiao Khan, hashtag April 23rd. And that's a lot of the terminology that we're seeing with this. A lot of people calling it a super fight. A lot of people noting this is what the fans wanted. As we talked about previously, Manny Pacquiao put up that poll on Twitter and asked his fans, who should I fight? Who do you want me to fight in the United Arab Emirates? And Amir Khan was the overwhelming favorite. I think nearly 50% of the vote that he got. So it's happening. And a lot of people are really happy about that. They said the fans asked, and they listened.
Well, I'm happy about it, Andrew. I think it will be an exciting fight on April 23rd. Three quick boxing results from the weekend in Birmingham, Alabama, in the southern United States. Deontay Wilder retained his WBC heavyweight title with a fifth-round TKO of fellow American Gerald Washington. Jarrett Hurd won the IBF junior middleweight title with a ninth-round TKO of fellow American Tony Harrison. And in a non-title heavyweight fight, American Dominic Brazil scored a fifth-round TKO of Izu Ugono, the Black Pole, who was born in Poland to Nigerian parents. And our boxing guru, Nnamdi Moeta, will talk with us later in the week about those three fights, as well as the performance of Izu Ugono. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, as we continue to talk about winners and losers, and by the way, fans even 2 months out from this Khan Pacquiao fight are already debating who they think is going to win. So expect that to continue for the next about 2 months until the fight actually goes down. But another big contest this past Sunday outside of the Academy Awards was the Daytona 500. Of course, huge race for NASCAR kicking off their season. And a huge win for driver Kurt Busch, who wins for the first time. Now, this was a crazy race that social media followed wall to wall. There were about three dozen cars that were involved in crashes or ran out of gas. And in fact, the one stat that someone tweeted out, and this is absolutely amazing, Kurt Busch led for exactly one lap. It was the final lap.
Amazing.
So, as somebody said, hey, that's the only lap that matters in the end.
Right.
You can, you know, and same thing with the award seasons. You can lead for the whole season, but just comes to that end when they open that envelope. And when Kurt Busch crossed the finish line in the checkered flag, he was in first place. So that's what counts. But lots of social media from fans and lots of social media from Kurt Busch and his team. So you have Stuart Haas Racing is the team that sponsors his car and owns the car. And they said, yes, it really happened. It wasn't a dream. We're Daytona 500 winners. So they were very excited about that. And Kurt Busch putting up some tweets. He had one this morning. He sent just an honored hashtag Daytona 500, hashtag KB41. Of course, Kurt Busch and 41 is his car number. The one tweet I really liked from last night, late last night after the race had ended, is a casual photo of Kurt Busch. He's sitting there in, it looks like maybe a holding room or a green room with his feet up. And the Harley Earl trophy, the trophy you win for the Daytona 500, is just sitting casually next to him on the table. He didn't put any words in this tweet. He just sent out the picture. And if you look, you almost miss it, the trophy. It kind of blends into the table. But it was a really cool tweet that he sent out, just kind of standing, sitting there relaxing with this huge trophy next to him.
Andrew, you mentioned a few of the drivers running out of gas near the end of that race. It really is kind of a tactical experience at the end where you have to figure out can the car make it through these final laps without having to make a pit stop and lose valuable time.
Oh yeah, and that's a lot of the excitement on social media as people follow along, especially as you get to the later parts of the race. This was one that I think people are going to remember as being an exciting one where the last, you know, 5 to 10 laps really made the difference. And as we said, the last lap even, because that was when Kurt Busch won it all.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the February 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is deeply concerned about the events depicted in a shocking video that appears to show the summary execution of unarmed civilians by elements of the armed forces of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Such extrajudicial killing, if confirmed, would constitute gross violations of human rights and threatens to incite widespread violence and instability in an already fragile country, said State Department acting spokesperson Mark Toner. According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein, there are multiple credible allegations of massive human rights violations in Kasai, Kasai Central, Kasai Oriental, and Lomami provinces amid a sharp deterioration in security situation there, including people being targeted by soldiers for their alleged affiliation with a local militia. The Democratic Republic of the Congo continues to confront significant political, economic, social, and security challenges. Key among these challenges is the need for security sector reform and an end to impunity. Progress in this area, not just in the Kasais, but throughout the DRC's vast territory, will require significant political leadership and will. A more stable security environment and long-lasting peace will also require political stability and accountability. To this end, we continue to urge all sides to make swift progress in implementation of the December 31st agreement so that the DRC can hold credible elections in 2017 and proceed to a peaceful, democratic transfer of power. We call upon the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo, said acting spokesperson Toner, to launch an immediate and thorough investigation in collaboration with international organizations responsible for monitoring human rights, to identify those who perpetrated such heinous abuses, and to hold accountable any individual proven to have been involved. At the same time, we cannot lose focus on continued insecurity in eastern DRC, where decades of conflict between rival militias have resulted in human rights violations, economic hardship, and continued insecurity. The financing of armed groups from the illicit trade in minerals remains a concern despite progress in responsible sourcing. Peace, security, and political stability are all keys to the DRC realizing its potential. The United States continues to stand as a partner with the Congolese people to hold those who commit human rights violations accountable as we work together to support a stable, democratic, and prosperous DRC.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat. February is Heart Health Month in the United States. Host Lenore Moudou will end the month with a look at children and heart disease. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC. Right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the latest political developments in Somalia as the country moves forward under the leadership of newly elected President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmaajo. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.